It's officially baseball season, and the A's have made another trade. They moved A.J. Puk to the Miami Marlins in exchange for former top prospect J.J. Bleda. We're going to go into the trade itself, why it makes sense for the A's, what the A's thought process probably was, all on today's episode of Locked On A's.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for Locked On A's. Stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans? And welcome to episode 528 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke, and on today's show, the A's made another trade. I had an idea of the top three biggest moves that the A's made this winter to get you guys ready for the season, and this one might have actually made the list, so might have to rewrite that one. But we're going to go into why the A's traded A.J. Puk, what they're getting in J.J. Bleda, the trade itself. We're going to go over all of the facets. Who's benefiting the most from this trade? It's not either of these players. So I'm going to tell you guys all about that on today's show. But before we do, thank you so much for making Locked On A's your first listen of the day. We're free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube. If you're already on YouTube, go ahead and hit subscribe, because we're trying to get to 1,000 subs by opening day. We're getting very close. We're at 808, I think, right now. So that you guys are doing great. And if you're already subscribed, go ahead and leave us a comment down below, because that helps the YouTube algorithm find other A's fans like yourself that may also enjoy listening to this podcast. So go do that if you're on YouTube. If you're on the audio platforms, that's great as well. Just give us a little thumbs up or a like or a comment or do one of those things that also helps out the podcast. It's very helpful in growing Locked On A's, and it's very much appreciated by Jason B. Also, make sure to follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at ByJasonB on Twitter. Check out Inside the A's for more A's news, insight, and analysis coming your way. When A's news happens, it's at Inside the A's. I have already written two pieces about this trade, so if you're waiting for the podcast, sometimes I gotta wait until the baby is asleep, or sometimes he's already asleep, and then I can't. So Inside the A's is a great place to check out until you can listen to the podcast and see what I look like and feel my energy about something when it happens. Because I don't have the energy when I write. I have the energy when I speak. And that's what we're doing here. So let's speak about this deal. The A's traded A.J. Puk for J.J. Bleda. It is the A's drafted Puk in 2016, sixth overall. The Marlins drafted J.J. Bleda, fourth overall in 2019. So that's a fun little wrinkle to this trade. Obviously, Bleda is a little bit younger. They were both coming out of college. Bleda was Vandy. He's a Vandy boy. And A.J. Puk is from the University of Florida. He's going back to the state of Florida and also reuniting with former A's teammate Jesus Luzardo. They are good friends. So that's good. I'm happy for them in that regard. So yay. Puk in 2022 had a solid stat line. Let's just dive into like what the A's are giving up here real quick. He was 4-3 in 66 and a third innings pitch. He had a 3.12 ERA, a 3.69 FIP. He struck out 10.3 per nine. He walked 3.12 per nine. Good stats. Those are great. I mean, not great. They're good stats. It's a good stat line. I think he had like 0.3 wins above replacement. So not like a huge, for that stat line, not a great war, but you know, whatever. The projections on him for 2023 have him ranging between like a 350 and a 371 ERA on Fangraphs. The league average last year was a 386 ERA. So he's projected to be a little bit closer to league average. Not necessarily not shutdown reliever, but solid reliever that he was. He's going to be more of a league average lefty coming out of the bullpen. He had four saves and nine opportunities. And if you watch A's baseball in 2022, you saw him you know, kind of blows some games. There's a big game against the White Sox. Austin Pruitt got the start. He held the White Sox. It was a spot start for Austin Pruitt. He was amazing. I thought he was going to go like two innings. He went five hitless, and he allowed no hits. Five innings. The A's are winning that game, I believe, 3-0 going into the ninth, and A.J. Puck just blew it. So that one seemed to last in a lot of A's craws. It's up here for a lot of us still. And so that's, he got the opportunity to close. He didn't rise to that occasion. And so maybe that's where the A's are like, I mean, maybe he could be a starter, but that's going to take a lot more time and resources and some injury luck to make sure that he stays healthy so that he can start. And they didn't feel like they were into that game. He still has 4 years of control left. Team control. So the Miami Marlins are getting a guy who has some good upside. He could be a starter. They also have a lot of pitchers already. So that's something. He allowed three of his 17 bequeathed runners, the runners that he left on base for the next reliever, three of his 17 bequeathed runners scored to inflate his ERA a little bit. That's 17%. That seems low. That seems fairly low, because the guys that were left on for him, he allowed 7 of the 22 runners that he inherited, and that is a rate of 31.8%. So if he was getting the runs allowed that he left for other guys at the same rate that he was allowing them, you had three more runs to his ERA. That is a 3.54 ERA. That is roughly what he is projected to have next season. And so that is something that I think that the A's might be considering. Is he got a little bit lucky. The stats look kind of nice right now. And obviously, the team, the front offices look at this stuff. But this is something from a fan perspective you might not look at in general. And he could have had almost a half a run higher ERA if, like, he didn't get a little bit lucky in what happened with the runners that he left on base. So that's something that I thought was interesting. And I'm going to touch on that again in the next segment with who I think benefits the most from this trade. But let's talk about J.J. Blade for just a minute here. He is 25 years old. He's a lefty bat. The A's always need more lefty bats for some reason. It feels like they always go righty heavy. And now they got J.J. Blade, and he's a lefty bat. He can play all three outfield spots, roughly league average. I think he was a little bit below league average in center and in left, but he had like zero outs above average on Baseball Savant in right field, but he also played right field the least. So he plays them roughly league average, maybe a little bit below, but still a young guy, still learning. He hasn't been in pro ball terribly long. He was drafted in 2019, and then he played 38 games, I believe, in high A, and then 2020 was a lost season for all minor leaguers, and so he didn't play there. And then he was just shipped up to double A for his first full professional season, and he did okay. He hit but it wasn't like outstanding numbers that necessarily needed him to get advanced. He did play fairly well in the Arizona Fall League in 2021. He walked nearly as many times as he struck out. I think he walked 20 times. He struck out 23 times. He hit for a much higher average than he had been. He'd been hitting like .212, I believe, with a good on base. But in the Arizona Fall League, he seemed to have turned a corner and hit for average and had the on base. He was a good player in the Arizona Fall League in, you know, 21 games or whatever it was. But so they moved him up to AAA. He got 85 games in AAA last year. He hit .229, but he had a .365 on base and an .835 OPS. He had 20 home runs in 85 games. So, I mean, if you just extrapolate that over the course of a full season, he's a 40 home run guy, you guys, obviously. He does strike out a little bit. Not like an insane amount. I think he's striking out 27.1% in AAA, if memory serves. So he strikes out more than the A's generally like right now. They've been going for 20 and under in general. There's been a couple of additions that are like 22%, but they're trying to get guys that don't strike out on the upper end of the 20s. And also adding a lot of guys that strike out in like the 15% range. So that's something that they might want him to work on a little bit. He also has a little bit of time at the big league level. He played 65 games with the Miami Marlins. He hit .167 with a .277 on base. His walk rate was still amazing. I think he walked 12% of the time in the big leagues. So that plate discipline is fantastic. reminiscent of Derek Barton a little bit, but he's got a little bit more pop. I think he's got a little bit more upside that you've already seen. So we'll see what happens there. He also hit 5 home runs, had 10 doubles and 3 steals. In AAA, he had nearly half of his hits went for extra bases. So that's something to keep an eye on. In the majors, exactly half of his hits went for extra bases. He had 34 hits total. 17 of those were for extra bases. He's kind of an extra base guy. So I like that aspect. The A's don't have a lot of those. They have a lot of contact guys right now. They don't have a lot of extra base guys right now. And I think that this is an interesting addition to the A's roster. He's 25. So some people are like, oh, he's 25. He should be, you know, an all-star. He should be, you know, in the Hall of Fame already. He's played 233 minor league games. That's like a season and a half of big league ball. That's not a lot of games, you guys. Since he's been, you know, removed from college, that's all that he's had. It's not a lot of development time. Sure, time has passed with COVID and stuff, but that is not development time. And the Marlins really seem to push him a lot. They were aggressive with his assignments. And I'm wondering if maybe he's taken a little bit longer to develop because they didn't take the time that he needed in order to develop and master a level before advancing him. And so from that regard, I'm excited about this trade. Maybe that's something that the A's are seeing, is if we give this guy a little bit of time to like actually like get his feet planted somewhere, then we can move him up. He has 3 options. So he can sit in the minors for a year or two if he needs to. I don't think he's going to be there that long by any means, but they can. He has options. That's something that the A's haven't gotten a lot of in recent trades. We thought that Luis Medina might be out of options. He had an extra 4th option year. Christian Pache, this season, needs to be on the big league roster on opening day and forever, or else he's put on waivers and removed from the 40-man roster because he's out of options. And because of that, I think that Christian Pache is still going to make the opening day roster because the A's don't want to just give him up for nothing. They don't want to lose him to a waiver claim because some team is going to just take him for waivers off the waiver wire, or they could trade him, but his value is not very high right now. If they're going to move on from him, they want to get something for Christian Pache and not nothing for Christian Pache. So I still think that he's at least a 4th outfielder on the A's opening day roster. JJ Bleda gets a little bit of time in the minor leagues to kind of, you know, get his footing somewhere, get acclimated to a new organization. He just got traded. There's a lot of stuff going on for him. Plus, he needs to perform at the AAA level. So do that. Bring him up. My guess is that he gets brought up probably midseason, and I'll talk about why midseason coming up in just a second. But I saw somebody floating this around, and it was the Marlins are so desperate for bats. Why would they trade a bat for more pitching? He must not be very good. And I mean, that is a take. Yes, it might be a correct take. Possibly. But the Marlins are also bad at developing hitters. So maybe they're just not patient enough. And the A's are like, hey, maybe if we give this guy a sec, he'll actually be really good. He is a former top 20 prospect in baseball heading into the 2021 season. He was the number 69 prospect. Nice. Heading into the 2022 season, he's not a rookie anymore because he exceeded those limits, but he's got some talent, you guys. He's got the pedigree. Maybe he just needs a second. I'm excited about this trade. I'm going to give you more as to who's benefiting from this and why JJ Bleda might be coming up at the trade deadline. So we'll talk about that here in just one sec. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's just bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from money line to point scores to threes drained. When Steph Curry comes back, just hit the over on threes drained, and you'll probably do okay. I don't know. I don't know what the over-under set at, but Steph Curry hitting threes seems like a slam dunk. Boom! Basketball puns. Doing great. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Welcome back to the Locked On Ace podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. If you're on YouTube, make sure to get those alerts whenever we drop a new episode, because starting this week, we're gonna be daily. It's baseball season, officially. Pitchers and catchers report in just a couple of days. If you're excited about just baseball and you want to be more excited about the A's season, I'm the guy to come to. I am excited about the A's. They're going to be better than you think. There's already an episode talking about why the A's will be better in 2023. So go watch that one too. If you're new to the podcast, get excited about some A's baseball. Yeah, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, but they're going to be a lot more fun to watch in 2023 because they've got some decent options right now. They've got a little bit of depth. They're trading some of their depth. I'm intrigued. They just keep adding bats. And to be honest, they need more bats. So they can develop pitching whenever they want. There's a pitcher. Hey, put him on the A's. Put him in the Coliseum. He'll be great. And then he'll have splits that nobody's ever going to notice, where he pitches fantastically at the Coliseum, and then not so great on the road, and then you can trade them later. So, A's baseball, catch the fever. But let's talk a little bit about this trade and who benefits the most from it. I never thought that AJ Puck was actually going to be in the starting rotation, regardless of how many times David Forrest said that AJ Puck was going to be vying for a rotation spot in spring training. He's going to be stretched out. He's going to be ready to go. I never thought that was going to happen because he only threw 66 and a third innings pitched last season, and a starter needs to go roughly 150. He's not going to do that many innings, and so you start him in the rotation and then you just don't use him the rest of the year, or you don't start him in the rotation and then his arm contracts a little bit because that's how muscles work, and then you put him in the rotation later. It didn't make any sense. The planning was bad. So I didn't think that he was going to be in the rotation. I thought that he could be like a 2 or 3 inning reliever, and then that could have gotten him stretched out maybe to like 110 innings, let's say. And he could have been stretched out for 2024. I could have seen that being the plan, but apparently none of it matters anymore because he's going to the Marlins to hang out with Jesus Luzardo. Best friends forever. Outside of 2022, AJ Puck had pitched 11 and a third innings pitched at the big league level in 2019, and then 13 and a third innings pitched in 2021, and 2022 was the first time since 2017 that he had thrown more than 50 innings cumulative across all levels. So, yeah, I think that it's okay that you trade AJ Puck with all of that injury risk. I know that he's gotten better at staying a little bit more healthy, and he's feeling good, but it's a risk, and if you're a rebuilding team and you don't think he's going to be in the rotation, because that's where his upside is in the rotation, you can trade bullpen guys whenever. That's fine. Bullpen guys are fickle. They go up and down all the time. That is like one rule that seems to go for like every form of baseball is you can trade bullpen guys if you're in a rebuild. That's fine. You go get what you can get. So with that in mind, I think that there is one guy that's really benefits from this trade if AJ Puck was 100% in the bullpen, and I think that he was, because he has got James Caprillion and Paul Blackburn as the incumbents in the rotation right now. And then they just added Shintaro Fujinami. Very excited about him. Drew Rachinsky, solid guy, should give you all of the starts that you need from the KBO. Interesting. Very excited about, what's going on over there. And then they also got some guys that they've gotten in other trades, Ken Walichuk and Kyle Muller. So they've got six guys vying for a rotation spot. So there's going to be a starter there that doesn't make it out of those six guys. And then there's also J.P. Sears, who is another lefty, and they just traded a lefty. J.P. Sears is a pretty good lefty, and he's had some time in the bullpen. I think the J.P. Sears benefits the most from this trade because now he has a clear path to a spot on the A's opening day roster, and that is going to be filling in for A.J. Puck. It might be a different kind of a role, but the A's don't necessarily need the high sort of high-leverage guy that A.J. Puck was. They could use the guy that can give them more length out of the bullpen in certain situations, and that's J.P. Sears. And I think that that's a good trade-off to have, honestly. A.J. Puck wasn't going to be closing games this year. They already have, you know, Trevor May, he could be a closer. Danny Jimenez, he was the closer last year. Zach Jackson, he closed some games. They got this guy Chad Smith in a trade with the Rockies. I'm excited about him. I think he could be closing games by the end of the year, because I'm very excited about that slider, because that thing gets whiffs. Check out Inside the Ace. There, I wrote a whole piece about Chad Smith and his slider and why I'm excited. So go check out Chad Smith. Get excited about Chad Smith. You've never heard of Chad Smith, except for the drummer from Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's not him. It's a different guy. He plays baseball. He's got a good slider. Check it out. But Sears, here's the thing with J.P. Sears. Four of the seven runners that he left on base for the next reliever, his bequeathed runners, came around to score. That's over 50% of the runners that he allowed, that he left on base, came around to score. If you lower that to the rate that A.J. Puck had, you take three runs out of his ERA, he has a 3.47 ERA, which is actually lower than the ERA that A.J. Puck had last year, so there's that. He also totaled over 100 innings last year, and the year before that. So he's already stretched out. He can do a little, he can be a spot starter if you need him to. He's pitched well in relief. I believe he had a 2.60 ERA in relief in, you know, like 17 innings. But his strikeout rate was better. His walk rate was fine. His whip was like 0.808, I believe. So under one as a reliever. He's a solid reliever, you guys. And I think that the A's may have actually gotten a boost by removing A.J., not by removing A.J. Puck solely, but by removing A.J. Puck and potentially replacing him with J.P. Sears. I think that that is a good move for the A's. It's a slight move, but it's a good move. I think that they're going to be more versatile. The other guys in the bullpen should be a little bit more rested because J.P. Sears can go a little bit longer. How often he can go is going to be a question, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. But I like this. I like this move from the giving J.P. Sears a spot on the big league roster point of view. So there's that. Coming up, I'm going to be talking about J.J. Bleda and why we're going to be seeing him at the trade deadline. So stay locked in, you guys. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but you don't want all of the fat and the calories? Then you gotta try a Built Bar. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. Do you need anything else? It's just real chocolate everywhere on this bar. They are so tasty, and they come in unbelievably flavorful flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how they do it, but these bars taste like a candy bar, and they also maintain amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. That's a lot of protein. I've looked at things like the oatmeal that I eat every morning. It does not. I need to have like 3 bags of oatmeal to get that in a protein-packed oatmeal. I need 3 bags of oatmeal. I can just have a Built Bar and be fully satisfied. So there's that. Have Built Bars, not oatmeal. Taking shots of big oatmeal right now. And if you don't want to wait around to get a box, then there's other ways to get them. You can go to your local Walmart or your local Sam's Club. That's right. You can head to the nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs if you're closer to a Sam's Club, because who isn't? Sam's Club is everywhere. Run in and grab a 13-bar box of their hit flavors, brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm a by Jason B on Twitter. Check out Inside the A's for more A's news, insight, and analysis. Coming your way whenever A's news happens, it's at Inside the A's. There you go. Boom. So why will we be seeing J.J. Bleda halfway through the season? I think that it's a fairly simple point on this one. Let's talk just briefly. A couple more things about J.J. Bleda. His walk rate has been great. 16.3% in AAA, 12.6% in the big leagues. His K rate was a little bit high, 27% in AAA, 28.2% in the big leagues. When not facing the shift, this is an interesting stat, I think. When he didn't face the shift, and the shift is, again, banned, it's outlawed, it's finito, it's finished, that's exaggerations. teams are going to figure out a way to still be able to, like, kind of shift, but there's going to be some rules in place where you have to have two guys on either side of the infield on the dirt, blah, 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 blah. So it's going to be a little bit easier to get some balls through. Well, that's one. But when he wasn't facing the shift last season, he had a 331 weighted on base, which is roughly 85th in baseball, and that was tied with the likes of Sean Murphy and Matt Chapman. I'm just saying, there might be some upside here, you guys, when he's not facing the shift, and he's not going to be, so I'm intrigued. My guess is that the A's start him in AAA because Pache is out of options. That just makes the most sense. JJ Bleda has options. Why give up Christian Pache to bring up Bleda if you don't have to initially? Let Pache at least rebuild some of that value, or make him a part of the team. One of those two. I still like Christian Pache. He plays just stellar defense. He's a generational defender, and I want to see his bat develop a little bit. We'll see if it can. I just want to give him a little bit more time. That's all I'm doing. JJ Bleda needs some more time in the minors anyway, so I don't think that anybody's getting hurt in this regard here. But I think that another guy who was also good without facing the shift last season, Seth Brown. He was basically Freddie Freeman. There we go. When he did not face the shift last season, I think that the A's are holding on to him to see how he does while not facing the shift and try to really skyrocket his value heading into the trade deadline, because he had a fantastic second half of the season. I believe he was 40% above league average with the bat. It's pretty good. I think that there's some upside there still left on Seth Brown. He's already 30 years old though, so is he a part of the next A's run? I don't know. He's got years of control left, so there's that. But the A's are already trading guys that are younger than Seth Brown, so I don't think that is far-fetched to trade Seth Brown, but maybe he's the kind of guy that they could just extend, because he's not going to cost like a ton of money, but because he's kind of a platoon guy still. He ranks against righties, not as good against lefties. I believe he's 20% better than league average against righties, 40% below league average against lefties, so there's some stuff there, but I think that they're going to try and see what Seth Brown's trade value looks like at the trade deadline, probably end up trading him, and then JJ Bleda, another guy that plays left field and is a left-handed bat, probably just takes over that spot. That's what I see happening. As of right now, we are still days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, but that's how I see it shaking out. Clip the audio. Let me know if I'm right. You know, it, I don't know, 5 months? Five-ish months. Hit me back. Let me know. Also, I've seen some people be like, this is a trade for a mediocre player for a mediocre player. Whatever. Who cares? Sure, I guess. I mean, league average relievers are important to teams if you're trying to contend. The A's aren't necessarily, but JJ Bleda could be a decent player. He could be an all-star, especially on the A's, because you only have to be the best player on the A's. And the A's, they got some talent. They got talent. I'm excited about the A's. They have a lot of guys that could really come up and, you know, have an amazing season, catch lightning in a bottle, do some great things, and then they'll be on a different trajectory. But as of right now, you're like, I mean, Esteri Ruiz, he could be really good. Nick Allen, if he figures out the bat, he could be really good. There's a bunch of guys. Kevin Smith. I still like Kevin Smith, even though he struggled. I think that he'd be a great platoon guy to have. There's a bunch of guys. Ryan Nota is, what's he about? He's got a similar profile. He walks a lot. His batting average has been a little bit higher. He's got some pop, but similar profile to JJ Bleda. And I'm intrigued by a lot of the guys on this roster. Dermis Garcia, if he can not strike out 44% of the time, I think that he can be a viable big leaguer. So let's see what happens with him. There's a lot of guys on this roster that are very intriguing, and we're going to be talking about them a lot over the coming months and maybe even years. We'll see. So if you like A's baseball, or you like, you know, just being excited about baseball and having some passion behind the microphone, make sure to subscribe to the podcast. We're here a lot. It's every single day. Well, okay. Monday through Friday during the season, you guys. And as I said on the last podcast, my babysitter had eye surgery, so they are still recovering. So I'm going to be trying to get every day right now, but once they're recovered, and it should be like a week until they're recovered, so it's not going to be very long, but once they're recovered, I can record whenever I want to, and I'm going to be doing it every single day, because A's baseball is exciting. I love baseball. I'm excited. It is now baseball season, and who doesn't love baseball? I mean, if you're listening to this, you certainly love baseball. So that's it for me today, guys. Thank you so much for making the Locked On A's your first listen every day. On the next episode, I'm going to be going over the three biggest moves that the A's made this offseason. I might touch on this one, even though we just did a full breakdown of this trade. I might touch on it and like, oh, this is another one. But the most impactful moves that the A's have made this offseason, we're going to go over all of those on the next episode of Locked On A's. For your second listen, go check out Locked On MLB Prospects, because host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. The A's got some prospects, so go check out Lindsey Crosby and see what he thinks about them. Locked On MLB Prospects is available for free wherever you get your podcast, so go check him out. And, you know, go have some fun. I'm recording this before the Super Bowl. I don't know who's going to win. Go Eagles, I guess. I don't care who wins. I just want a good game and some good commercials. And I want Rihanna to sing the crap out of a bunch of songs. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Let me know if that happened down in the comments. But that is all that I got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans. And I will talk at you tomorrow.